What a powerful name it is. I love the verse in that song where it says that God has no equal and he has no rival. Is that good news for someone on today? To know that we serve a God that has no equal, that there is none like the God that we serve. Amen. And while you are standing, go ahead and grab your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads, your Androids, whatever that you read the word of the Lord from. And let's just keep standing as we read God's word. We're going back to the Old Testament again. As I've been thinking the last two times I have preached, I've preached from the Old Testament, and I'm starting to see a theme. So if you would, while you stand, go to the book of to Joel chapter 2. We're going to start reading at verses 12, and we're going to read 12 and 13. The book of Joel, as some call it, chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. All right, we got to hold up. I hear pages turning. Man, that is some wonderful news to hear pages turning. That, man, that's exciting to know that we still have some people that like to just touch and hold God's word. Amen. All righty. Well, since I heard the pages turn, I'm going to read mine from the Bible as well. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning. He says, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and kindness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. We just thank you, God, for this service today, God. Thank you, God, that as we come off of celebrating Christmas, God, and the birth of your son, Jesus Christ, we just thank you, God, for those that are represented here today. Thank you, God, that you're here, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come in today and rest, rule, and reign in our hearts as we go back to an Old Testament book, God, to see what thus says the Lord. And so, God, I pray the word today falls on the good soil of our hearts and not the stony places or the rocky places, but the good soil of our hearts, that this word today, God, might bring back a harvest. And, God, here I stand. I ask you, God, to do one thing and one thing only, God, that is to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so we just thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen. Amen. You can be seated. So today, this is the last Sunday service of 2021. And so what I would like to do today is take this time, not so much from a sermon perspective, but to prepare us for 2022. And I want to give you some insights into how we're going to move going forward as a fellowship of believers. And so one of the things that I has been constantly on my heart is this, is that I feel like we as Connect Church, I think we haven't started to drift, but we have drifted. We've drifted away from who we are as a fellowship of believers. And I believe that for us to do a course correction, because when you start to drift, I don't know if some of you know that I did serve in the United States Navy, and I was on a ship. I was on a destroyer, an anti-submarine destroyer, and I sometimes had to spend time up in the bridge with the captain, because I was the captain's secretary. And so I would be up there, and I would pay attention to how the captain or the XO would give directions and keep the ship on target so that the ship wouldn't start to drift. And so we as a church, I believe that we can, if we lean into God, that we can course correct and get back on track of being the church that God has called us to be. And what it's going to require is, it's going to require that our hearts are aligned with the heart of God for this community, this city, this state, and this world. And we have to ask ourselves as a church, are we flowing with grace, compassion, and loving kindness? And so today I want to talk to us, and I want to walk us through what it takes to get back to a place to where our hearts are broken for what breaks God's heart. And that's a place that we always want to find ourselves as a fellowship of believers. Does what break God's heart break our heart? Or do we just come to church and serve for our own agendas or for our own religious activities? But are we going to be a fellowship of believers whose hearts are broken for the thing that breaks God's heart? What are the things that break God's heart? The Bible so clearly tells us in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life." What breaks God's heart is for people to be in a life of sin. And I think we need to get back to being the type of people that can, that our hearts are so knitted to God's heart that we're concerned about the sinners and the people who are far away from God. That's what we are called to do as a church. We're not just called to just come and just gather, and that's good. We're not just called to have different programs and services and all that. That's a byproduct of a fellowship of believers whose hearts are broken and bent toward God. And if we're going to impact the lives of this community, we must get back to being a church that has God's heart. But not only have God's heart, but are we going to take action? Are we going to do something about it? And so today in the book of Joel, we find the Israelites in a similar situation. Israel has drifted from God again. Have you ever asked yourself, what is it about this group of people? What is it about Israel? They always seem to drift toward God. And Israel is one of the only people that have been on the face of this earth that have actually saw God move in ways that no other people group have been able to experience God. But yet they continued to drift away from God. And in the first chapter of the book of Joel, he tells Israel, and he paints this picture of them being, of like Israel being eaten by locusts. that life is just eating away at them because they've drifted from God. Things had really gotten bad for Israel in the book of Joel. And in the second chapter, Joel outlines for us how Israel was to get back on track with God. And I think the same formula for Israel then is the same formula for us now. That for us to get back on track and be and live the type of lives that God has called us to live, there are some things that we're going to have to do. And if you look at verse 12 says this, it says, "Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me." But catch that second part of it. Don't just return to me any old kind of way. God says, return to me with what? With all your heart. And that's one of the questions that I have for us today is where is your heart for God, for God's kingdom, and for God's people? Are you just so caught up in what you want to do, what your preferences are? Are you caught up in the religious traditions that you've been raised up on all this time to where now you can just go through the motions and not have to think about what you do for God? It just happens every week after week. We need to return to God with not some of us, with not some of our heart. We need to return to God with all of our heart. And this is the thing that I like about God. Even as he gave this scripture to the prophet Joel, God is the type of God that he never require something of you and not tell you how to do it. He says, return to me with all of your heart. And look at the next sentence. It says, and here's how you return to me with your heart, with all of your heart. He says, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. That's how we return to God when we've started to drift, is we return to God with all of our hearts and with fasting, weeping, and mourning. And so today I'm going to focus on fasting because starting January 3rd through January 9th, we as a church, I'm calling a all-out church fast. I'm calling an all-out church fast. And can I ask a question just by showing of hands? And this is not to single anyone out. I just want to know who I'm speaking to today. So the first question I want to ask you is, who is here that has not fasted before? By a show of hands. Okay. All right. All right. And then who does not understand why we fast? By a show of hands. Who don't understand why we as a fellowship of believers are called to fast? Okay. Here's why we fast. Fasting is a way for us to reconnect with God by bringing our minds and our bodies under submission to God. It's a set aside sacred time for us to reconnect with God. And I'm not saying that you've lost, if you haven't fasted fasted in a while. I'm not suggesting that you're not saved anymore. No, just by not fasting, you do not lose your salvation. Your salvation is eternally secure. So that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that sometimes we can drift, and God doesn't leave us, but sometimes we can drift away from Him and the things that He's called us to do. And so we fast to submit and to draw closer to God. And please understand this about fasting. It's not just the denial of food, TV, reality TV shows. It's not just giving up your iPad. No, I'm not going to be on my iPad for a while. And it's not just giving up your gaming consoles. Some people may choose to fast from their gaming console. And all that's well and fine. But if all you do is give up food, give up sweets, give up coffee, or give up whatever that you give up, and you do not take that time to draw closer to God, all you are doing is going without something that you like. There has to be a purpose. There has to be significance in it. It has to be your desire that you say, God, I want to draw closer to you. God, I'm coming to you with a contrite heart. God, I want to get closer to you. And so when you push back from the table, when you turn off the TV, when you turn off the internet, when you do all of those things, what you must do at that point then is go spend time with God in prayer. Because if you just give up food, all you're doing is going on a diet. But when you give up food and your heart is to draw closer to God, now you are fasting. Now you are drawing close to God, and God is going to draw close to you. That's when things are going to happen. And when we do it collectively, man, that's when lives are changed. That's when we as a church experience spiritual breakthroughs. Is when collectively we push back our plates. We turn off the TV. We shut down the iPads. We turn off the game and consoles, and we spend that time on our knees, or we spend our time just walking and talking with God. That's why we fast. And I just covered how do we fast. I mean, just like I said, fasting without prayer is just a diet. Time off and time with God is not the same thing. You can turn off that TV and turn off that iPad, but that does not mean that that's time with God. That's just time off. Here's the thing about fasting that I want us to understand. It's one short time of fasting. January 3rd to January 9th. This time of fasting for us can have some long-term effects on this church. And I don't know what your background is, but if you've ever been a part of a church that has done a fast for a specific time frame, or doing a specific time of the year, or for something specific, man, I have seen God do some miraculous things with very few folks. But when everybody collectively got together and said, I'm going to give this up so that I could draw closer to God, so that we could make an impact as a church, man, great things happen. And so, what is our purpose for fasting? So as you fast this upcoming, not next week, but the week after, and I was wanting to do this so that you guys, so that we could have time to understand why we're fasting, and I want you to also to know that what we're fasting for. Because when you read the Bible, when Israel was out, when they were in a crisis, the first thing that God called them to do was to have a fast, a solemn assembly, a time of getting together, a consecrated time of fasting and prayer. And so here's our purpose for fasting as Connect Church. And this is how you can pray for us while we are fasting. We need wisdom on how to best move forward. As a church, we need wisdom on God. How do you want us to move forward? How do we best move forward? And here's the big one for me. We need to make our mission statement come alive. By a show of hands, who knows the mission statement of Connect Church? I'm going to take off my glasses so I can just see hands and not faces. All right, hold your head up. Who knows the mission statement of Connect Church? Okay. If each and every one of us do not know and live out our mission, then why are we here? Why are we here? Any organization, any well-run organization, they're going to be mission-focused. Some organizations, if you don't know the mission statement, you'll get kicked out. Because if you don't know why you do what you do, then you will not know what to do. We need to pray that our mission statement becomes a part of who we are. It's not just a casual saying. Okay, I'm going to ask another question. The mission statement is somewhere in this church. How many people know where the mission statement is proudly displayed for our church? Okay. So y'all see the mission statement on the, it's over here? Oh, it's not over there? Oh, so it's where? Huh? Is that the where? Oh, it's at the front doors, okay. Do you think that's by accident or incident? Have you ever watched a football team, and I know they do this in college a lot, but as the team is going out the door, guys will jump up and slap the mission statement. They all jump up. Yes. Yes. Guys, I don't mean guys. This mission statement is vital to who we are. Vital. And so going forward, from next service on, we're going to recite the mission statement every Sunday. every Sunday until it just oozes out of you and it oozes onto someone else and it oozes onto someone else, and we finally are doing what God has called us to do. We need, here's something else that you can pray for us. We need favor with banks and financial institutions. We need favor with banks and financial institutions. Pray that we can connect with families and this community. Pray for financial resources to enable us to do the ministry and the mission that God has called us to do. We need financial resources. And then here's the last one. Pray that we draw so close to God that God gives us wisdom on how to minister to the people in this community who have broken hearts, who have church hurt, who are sinners just far from God. We need to know how to minister to them today. Because the way we used to minister to people back in the past, how many of you are old enough to know that that people used to walk up to you and they would give you a tract and they would say, what? If you die today, where would you spend eternity? And that is a relevant question, but I think in today's environment, we need to learn how to say that same thing, but in a different way, to reach a people group that is far away from God. Because most people now are not planning for eternity. They're just in the now. So how do you reach a people who, for the first time, they weren't raised in a Christian household? How do you reach those people? How do you reach people that have so much information from the internet that you cannot tell them anything? How do you reach those folks? How do you reach people that are so smart that they're no earthly good? How do you reach a people group whose hearts have been so twisted and there's kids in here, isn't it? Give me what to say right now, God. How do I say this the right way? Anyway, how do you reach people who goes against what the Bible says for a man and a woman? Because we can't just throw them away. Because if we throw those people away, then we got to throw the folks that just told a lie away. Because you do know that all sin is sin, right? There is no big sins, there is no little sin. All of it is sin in God's eyesight. Because just because you're not doing X doesn't mean God loves you and he doesn't love the person that's involved in Y. So we need to pray how we can reach these people and not just come to church and sing a few songs, shake a few hands, eat some green beans, casserole, are we going to get about God's business? That's what we need to. That's our purpose for fasting as Connect Church. And so, as I close, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to go into a time of consecration and drawing closer to God so that we could be the church He has called us to be. Amen. And so we are calling our time of fasting, we're calling it a reset. I believe that we as a church, we need to reset so that we could revive, restore, and renew our hearts. And so this is we have a fasting guideline that we've prepared for you. To kind of give you an outline of what fasting is, how we fast, and it's going to give you several options on things that you can fast from. Because I know some of us, such as myself, are on certain medications that you can't go without food and all of that. So find something that is significant to you that you can give up. And so you can go to, please put this in your phone. Go to connectchurch.com/reset. connectchurch.com/reset. And you can download this fasting guideline. And then we also have about 50 or so copies outside in the Welcome Center as well. And so if you need a hard copy, we have some out at the Welcome Center. So I wanted to talk to us today about this so that when we enter into our fast, I want us to all be on the same page, all know where we're going and why we're doing what we're doing. And so the Wednesday, I think it's January 5th, that's on a Wednesday, we're going to come here to church, and we're going to have a time of prayer as a fellowship of believers. So I want you to put that on your calendars. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing, and if you want to come and consecrate and pray with us together, come here at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock? At 7 o'clock on January 5th, and we're going to pray together as a body of believers. And then we're going to, the week after that, we're going to start the Red Letter Challenge as a fellowship of believers. We're going to all do this Red Letter Challenge. What this Red Letter Challenge is that those are the words of Jesus in the Bible that's written in, or that's highlighted in the color red. I don't know if that's news to someone, but that was supposed to be a joke. I didn't get my joke. But in the Bible, anytime Jesus spoke, it was highlighted in red. And so we're going to get back to doing what Jesus said. And so we're going to do the Red Letter Challenge. I think it's a 7 week, 8 week, 9 week, 6.5 weeks. Okay. As y'all can tell, I don't know anything. I just come here and speak when they say speak. No. So we're going to do that, and I believe that this is going to get us off to a good start for 2022. All right. So put those things on your calendar. Be in prayer for your church. Be in prayer for your brothers and sisters at the church. And pray for your pastors. And pray for your elders. Amen? All right. Let's stand. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are, God. God, thank you for the examples that you've given us, God, when we've started to drift away from you. God, we get a chance to see Israel and all of the problems that they had, God, all of their complaining, God. But God, you gave us an example of what to do when we find ourselves in those situations. And so, God, I invite the Holy Spirit to just come in and rest, rule, and reign in our hearts, God, as a fellowship of believers. God, that we could be about doing what you've called us to do, God, and that is to make disciples who impact the world, God, who love God and love people and impact the world. God, give us wisdom and guidance on how to best do that, God, to where it's pleasing and acceptable to you. God, I pray that you break every heart that's here today, God, for what breaks your heart, and that is others. And so, God, I just thank you. I pray for safety. I pray for each and every family that's represented here through this end of the year. If people are traveling, God, I pray for them as they travel over the New Year's holiday. And God, bring us back, God, on the first Sunday in January, God, with a expectancy, with a zeal, with a desire, God, to draw close to you. So we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.